Geared up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is January the 5th, 2011, 2011. Celebrating a new year, welcoming in a new year here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday with a lot of info we got to go through tonight. We're going to be talking on a lot of issues, including tonight we're going to get a feature interview later on in the show. We're going to be speaking with the man behind HiddenFromHistory.org, announcing a new book tour on the Unrepentant Disrobing the Emperor book and the International Tribunal into the Crimes of the Church and State. We're going to be talking with Kevin Annett a bit later on in the show. And also we're going to be playing some clips here from the Free Mumia Abu Jamal rally, the one that took place in November. And it's going to be, you're going to get some more info, and we're going to be, of course, promoting some of the big actions taking place this weekend. This Saturday, there's going to be a mass demonstration calling for a public inquiry into the Toronto G20 this Saturday, January the 8th, 2 to 5 p.m. at Queen's Park. And then this Sunday, there's going to be a rally to save Transit City, 2 p.m. This Sunday, January 9th, at the Toronto City Hall. These are the kind of events we're going to be promoting for the new year. We're going to be talking about a bit about what you can look out for in 2011. And maybe just to start off this week, this episode of the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and my name is Daniel Libby, by the way. Just wanted to shout out again Robin Nieto, who's said that he'll be back next week. He doesn't have a segment this week. He's got a plans though for the return next week. So wish a good 2011 to him, and of course happy 2011 to all the listeners, and shout outs to Victor Baines Marshall, of course, too, the host of the Middle Passage. But I think maybe just to start off. To start things off on the show, maybe we'll just throw it to a free Mumia Abu Jamal clip here. This is one of his latest commentaries, War Crimes and WikiLeaks. Here is a 2011 Mumia Abu Jamal commentary, and then we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
War Crimes and WikiLeaks. Among the maniac right, calls have come for the assassination of Julian Assange of WikiLeaks fame. Some have called for his quick arrest for violation of U.S. anti-spy laws, extradition, trial, and conviction. Although the din may have died down somewhat, U.S. government officials are livid with the Australian, with some issuing dark threats. If WikiLeaks is guilty of anything, it's failing to abide by the unwritten rules followed by much of the corporate press, that of keeping state secrets. The catcalls for Assange's prosecution are startling, given the seas of silence on the prosecution of U.S. government officials for war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan. In fact, the war itself was a brazen violation of international law, for it violated the U.N. Declaration against attacking a nation that did not harm the attacker. Thus, the war was a war crime. This, even if the U.S. didn't torture people, kill civilians, destroy historic sites, and shatter nations on false pretexts. Alan Greenspan, former head of the Federal Reserve, said recently what millions already knew. The Iraq War is largely about oil. And yet, former President George W. Bush and his complete cabinet are not facing war crimes charges, as if the UN has an idiocy exception to violating international law, as in, oops, no WMDs? Sorry. Millions have gone into exile. The nation is carved into ethnic ghettos. Hundreds of thousands are dead, and the infrastructure has been bombed into dust. And there are no violations of international law? Apparently not, for the aggrieved were just Arabs. From death row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Word up. So that was there, Mumia Abu Jamal, the famous political prisoner, speaking in 2011, some of the top issues of the day, WikiLeaks, war crimes, and more. So what we're going to do here, just to get you in the mindset of activism, of the Mumia Abu Jamal topic, and as well, just to promote, because we were talking about, there's going to be this weekend coming up during the day, there's going to be some rallies going on Saturday, one about the G20, Sunday, there's one about Transit City. Well, why don't we just play a bit of a throwback here to the United Front rally that took place in 2010, there in the right at the end of the fall. This is the Free Mumia Abu Jamal United Front, which took place. It was near the U.S. consulate, so it was a couple months ago now. But it's of course, you know, it gets into a lot of topics, not just Mumia Abu Jamal, because, you know, with all the activists you're going to be hearing in this segment, well, you're going to hear, you heard a bit from this rally actually a few weeks ago. So this, we'll call this part two. So without any further ado, here is the United Front to Free Mumia Abu Jamal. Continue.
Next speaker is Comrade Elizabeth from the Socialist Caucus of the New Democratic Party.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. My name is Elizabeth Bice, and I'm here to convey the full solidarity of the NDP Socialist Caucus. I'm the SC Federal Treasurer, and I'm also a retired member of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Mumia Abu Jamal, vice of the viceless, victim of racist capitalist injustice, is in grave danger, as we know. After decades on death row in Pennsylvania for a crime he did not commit, Mumia could be executed soon. We cannot, and we will not, allow that to happen. The U.S. Court of Appeal for the Third Circuit meets today to decide whether Mumia is to be executed or granted a new trial. The Third Circuit announced its decision to hear the case almost immediately following the circus-like spectacle orchestrated by Philadelphia's Fraternal Order of Police, its district attorney and mayor, and a host of other bloodthirsty would-be Mumia executioners. They rallied last month to a premiere showing of Tiger Hill's twisted new film, The Barrel of a Gun, which promised to reveal critical evidence proving that Mumia was the killer of police officer Daniel Faulkner on December the 9th, 1981.
Lies,
you're right, brother. While Hill's film showing made the front pages of the Philadelphia Inquirer, neither that paper nor any other could bring itself to affirm Hill's unproven conclusions. Indeed, Ill's thesis that Mumia had participated in an ambush of Faulkner was never, never offered by the prosecution itself during Mumia's trial. The only thing the court should do is throw out the racist convention fiction and free Mumia at last. A win for Mumia will be a win for the working class and humanity. But to win, we have to fight. And the fight starts here at home. It starts with convincing our neighbors, our community organizers, our social justice movement, our unions to become aware, to take a stand. 3 million Canadians belong to unions in this country, and many unions are affiliated to the New Democratic Party. We in the NDP Socialist Caucus have been raising the issue of Mumia in our union and in the labor-based NDP for many years. There is a tremendous support for Mumia, but we need to see it expressed in the form of mass rallies, mass demonstrations, solidarity strikes, and protests. We will continue the struggle. With your help and involvement, reaching deep into the heart of the labor movement, victory will come sooner. And as I said earlier, I am a member of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, and my union also endorsed this rally today. And on behalf of the 10,000 members in Toronto, I bring you solidarity from them.
Yeah, I just want to bring the firm solidarity of the Communist Party of Canada to this united front. I think it's great that so many people with so many different views can get together on an issue. And I just feel, you know, we can't let this man die. He's such a great great soul. If I don't usually use that word, but
it really reminds me how the police are the shock troops of the system of capitalism, and behind them is the whole legal system.
Just briefly, free Mumia now.
Free Mumia now. Next speaker is Comrade Debbie from the Partisan Defense Committee.
At today's proceedings, the racist courts are deciding either to kill Mumia, reinstating the death penalty, or entomb him for life. We say no. Over 25 years of legal proceedings starkly show there is no middle ground. It's either fight for Mumia's freedom or accede to his legal lynching or life in prison. Ever since the PDC took up Mumia's case over 20 years ago, we have sought to mobilize the broadest forces in his defense. We fight for class struggle defense, for mass protests for Mumia's freedom, based on labor's social power, its ability to choke off profits that are capitalism's lifeblood. Genuine united front action in Mumia's defense means unity in action and complete freedom of criticism. It's not a peace pact with the reformists, like those who organized today's protest. These liberals and reformists undermine the fight for Mumia's freedom by diverting protests into pleas for a fair new trial. Some of those who spoke tonight, like the rep from Socialist Action and Fight Back, who's here, they joined in the witch hunt against Black Bloc protesters and have called for a public inquiry into the police repression at the G20 protests. No illusions in the capitalist state. No illusions in the capitalist state.
Jail the killer cops! Jail the killer cops! Jail the killer cops!
Free Mumia!
Okay, the next speaker is Sister Phoenix from the Community Justice Committee.
The Community Justice Coalition is a group of about 80 people from different backgrounds, including ex-prisoners, community justice workers, lawyers, and healthcare providers. We came together in February of this year to resist the Harper government's neoliberal law and order agenda, which seeks to lock away more people for longer periods of time. We endorse the event because we want to stand behind the message. We want to say no to the death penalty and no to the execution of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Historically, we have seen prisons, police, and the death penalty used to silence, divide, control, and oppress racialized communities, poor communities, and our social movements. In the United States, when Reagan announced the war on drugs, he announced a war on black liberation and a war on people. And now, even though Canada has stood by and watched the devastating effects of U.S. laws such as mandatory minimums, we in Canada are facing the same state-enforced repression. This repression comes to us in the form of Bill S-10. If passed, the bill will implement mandatory minimums for drug offenses, and like many other damaging pieces of legislature, mandatory minimums will have the same devastating effects on racialized and poor communities here in Canada as it did in the States. We at the CJC value Mumia's insight, and we feel it is important to take steps now to abolish the prison industrial complex. Prisons don't work. They can't be fixed because they do exactly what they were designed to do. So we say abolish the prison industrial complex and free Mumia.
Hello, I'm Guy. We've all been involved in this campaign for a long time. In 1999, I went to San Francisco area for his birthday. I remember in Santa Cruz, we got a whole bunch of high school students out to come to a demo. And I remember what the longshoremen did. It was absolutely brilliant. I hope more unions do the same thing here because this issue is very much related to what's happening here. Mumia talks about the prison industrial complex. And what do we see now with the Harper government and that goofball Stockwell Day, right? Building more jails, passing more laws to railroad us. Another thing, with the G20, we saw the criminalizing of dissent. And the cancer that Mumia warned us about 10 years ago, it's spreading here. When we fight for him, he's one of the best examples of a revolutionary, of a great humanist. We also fight for ourselves because we have a common enemy. You know, all that stuff with the SPP. We have the elites here and the elites there emerging more every day. And actually, let me use a quote from Mumia. He says that when he reminds us that words like justice, law, civil rights, and yes, crime have a different and elastic meaning depending on whose rights were violated, who committed what crimes against whom, and whether that person works for the system or against it. Much better than anything Obama has ever said. So let us use our anger and indignation that we all feel to build a better society. Society that, you know, we dream of, along with Mumia, society based on equality, cooperation, and social justice.
I am Alex from Common Cause. We're an Ontario-wide anarchist organization. This means a lot to me here. Reading Live from Death Row by Mumia Abu-Jamal was a really formative experience for me. In really teaching me about the sort of institutionalized and systemic racism of the so-called justice system. And I mean, it's not just in America, it's also here as well. Here in Turtle Island, you'll see that, you know, while Native or Indigenous population only make up less than 3% of our population, they currently comprise almost a fifth of our prison population. And thanks to Mumia for pointing this out. And free all political prisoners, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, free Alex Hundert, and abolish the racist prison industrial complex. Thank you.
Yeah. Woo!
Okay, the next speaker is Comrade Julius from Socialist Action.
I'm also Vice President of OPSU Local 532 and a delegate to Toronto York and Region Labour Council. We are here, all of us united in the cause, to demand freedom from Mumia Abu-Jamal. The situation is urgent because his life is threatened again. Mumia has been in jail for 29 years for a crime he did not commit. Mumia, once a young Black Panther, always a voice of the voiceless on radio and in print, was framed by the Philadelphia police in 1981. Death row in U.S. prisons is filled with hundreds of Black men like Mumia, victims of a corrupt system based on class exploitation and social oppression. America's jails hold 2 million workers, most of whom are the casualties of capitalist rule, while the criminal lords of business and commerce walk free. The purveyors of war and environmental destruction prosper, while Arabs, Muslims, and people of color are incarcerated on mere suspicion, are seized and locked up, and are deported to torture regimes in the post-9/11 war on civil liberties. The Canadian Anti-Terrorism Law and the U.S. Patriot Act are tools in the arsenal of a failed economic system. It is a system that relies on deceit and intimidation in order to preserve the rule of a tiny parasitic minority. Those who stand up for justice like Mumia, like the courageous civil rights attorney Lynn Stewart, like the heroic Aboriginal leader Leonard Peltier, who was hand-delivered by the RCMP to the FBI, pay a huge price in fighting for the rights of all. For all political prisoners and the unjustly detained, this November 9th coalition is a positive example of how we can work together in a spirit of solidarity and respect. Of course, there is much more to be done to win the entire workers' movement to take action for our just cause. Down with the racist death penalty. Down with the boss's austerity drive. Free Mumia now!
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal! Brick by brick, wall by wall! Free Mumia Abu-Jamal! Brick by brick, wall by wall! Free Mumia Abu-Jamal!
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So those were some words there from the speeches of the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal rally. It took place in November of 2010. And for more information on Mumia Abu-Jamal, you can check out the website prisonradio.org. That's where you can find the commentaries from Mumia Abu-Jamal. We played one of his latest ones earlier on in the show. There you heard some clips there from the United Front rally, a lot of different voices. Moving along in the show, just some news headlines here, because this is 2011. It's our first episode of 2011. And first up, I just wanted to shout out here on our news headline section, shout out to Dave Cronsilver, who is a great supporter of CKLN Radio, who was featured, I noticed his name, featured in the Toronto Star on this weekend. And with the quote, "Don't forget the cyclists," it was a front page story about the Mayor Rob Ford's New Year's levy, where he was hearing from the public. Well, there's some words getting out. "Don't forget the cyclists" is a message to the mayor. And what do we got? A congratulations here for the baseball legend Roberto Alomar, announced today that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. First Toronto Blue Jay to ever enter the Hall of Fame, or first player to enter who's going to be wearing a Blue Jays cap, I guess, when he enters. So that is that's one of the headlines here. And we got... we got a few more headlines here, but I think we might have our interview guest calling in right now. So to smooth things over here, maybe we'll just play a bit of 1-6 Mr. Misinformation track, and we'll be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up.
Yes. In this time of media hype, you are what you believe. Yo. Don't get misled. Yo, yep. Yo. Ha. what to name, what to label, what's a state of mind, state of being, a state of the state that you stay in. Status of the day-to-day base, where you're stationed, all the features of the deity you place all your faith in. Will it change when it all turns around? Everything you know is nowhere to be found. When Mr. Misinformation takes over your town and knowledge becomes the power that'll put you in the ground. Tell me, what do you know, and how willing are you to be concerned by that which you don't? An accurate quote, if you have to adapt to a zone that isn't naturally yours and have to manage accordingly. Of course it seems harder in the grander scheme of holding on to a dream when reality is Vaseline. Get a grip or let it slip, on with the second tick. If you never lose, you'll never know what progression is. From obsession comes negligence, pressure brings excellence. Every day is exactly the same thing while you step on the precipice, seat at the edge and realize only gravity is waiting. And rock bottom's got problems he's trying to get on top of before his time's up. Cause the ever's never promised, and the sole solace offered is hoping your body doesn't go rotten before your mind does. So what's your name, what's your label, what's your state of mind, state of being, a state of the state that you stay in. Status of the day-to-day base, where you're stationed, all the features of the day till you place all your...
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was just a bit of a music track there. Mr. Misinformation, Juan Six. So shout-outs to Australia down under, making some good music. Well, moving along here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday and getting into a serious topic here, joining us on the show is a guest we've had on in the past, and he has announced a world tour that was announced yesterday, and he's part of the International Tribunal into the Crimes of Church and State. You might know his website, hiddenfromhistory.org. You can check that for more information. You might know his documentary movie, Unrepentant, and you might know the friends and relatives of the disappeared. Joining us here on the line is Kevin Annett. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here on the show and for all the work that you've been doing. I guess maybe if we could just start off with this major headline released yesterday about a world tour. What's going on? What are you up to?
Well, it's really building on things that we've been doing for several years now. It's focusing more and more on the Vatican, of course, because really when you're looking at the whole history of genocide in the Indian residential schools, or, you know, the child trafficking that goes on within the church, I mean, all roads tend to lead to Rome on that issue. So we've presented a summons to the Pope to appear before a tribunal next September in London, and six senior cardinals, because it's pretty clear that the senior officers in the Catholic Church are doing their best to cover up child rape and pedophilia within that institution. So what I'm doing is I'm going on a world book launch. My new book, Unrepentant, Disrobing the Emperor, really tells the whole story over the last 20 years of how I've been working to expose this, you know, starting in the residential school crimes here in Canada, but also expanding more and more and linking up with people all over the world who are suffering these crimes as well. And I'm really kind of using the book tour as a way to promote the tribunal, to get the truth out, and really to encourage people who've suffered at the hands of these churches, you know, to come forward and start telling the truth and naming the names of these criminals. So that's kind of in a nutshell, you know, the idea of what we're doing.
Right, and you mentioned this, the tribunal, and I know you're part of this International Tribunal in the Crimes of the Church and State. But I was just wondering, you know, just for people that don't know, and I don't even totally know, what exactly is a tribunal?
Well, what it is, it's a forum, first of all. It really has two functions. It brings forward the evidence on an issue. Like, for example, back in 1998, we held a tribunal in Vancouver where we brought and encouraged survivors of the Indian residential schools to come before the cameras and simply tell their story. We then took the evidence and sent it on to the United Nations for action. What we found is that there was no action, that the government of Canada intervened to stop any kind of investigation. So what we're doing this time is we're doing more than just creating a forum for the truth to come out. We're setting this up as a judicial body under common law. So, in fact, it has the power under what's called de jure common law courts to issue summonses and even to arrest people who are found guilty of these crimes. So under international law, the thing to realize is that if the courts and the governments don't take action to protect people, the citizens have the right to form their own courts. There's even a movement in Canada now called Freemen on the Land that are setting up common law courts that are outside the jurisdiction of the Crown. So often, like what you get is the, and certainly this happened with the residential schools, the United Catholic and Anglican Churches, they committed horrible crimes in these schools. They've caused the death of over 50,000 children over a century, yet they've never been brought to trial. and there's every indication the government won't bring them to trial. So what people have the right to do is to say, then we'll put them on trial ourselves. We'll bring in community sentencing. This is the kind of direct action people can take, and that's their right under common law. So this is the kind of process we're trying to encourage. So instead of waiting for the institutions that committed these crimes to, you know, try themselves, which they're not going to do, it's, you know, people can take that action themselves. And we've already had quite a lot of success and response from lawyers and other people wanting to come forward and help us with this.
Nice. And I wanted to ask you about another headline that I'd been seeing starting around last year. I think around the fall of last year, there was some headlines that you were going to Rome to sites in Europe, and that there was an exorcism of the Vatican going on in the Church of Rome.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what is the status with that? Because I know you're a reverend, but you were with the United Church, and I guess that's how you found out a lot of this information on all the history of the churches in Canada and everything.
That's
but
right.
What is the status with the exorcism?
Well, what happened was I went to Rome in October 2009, and I stood outside the Vatican, and I performed a traditional exorcism, right, where I simply called forth the spirit of lies and murder to come out from that institution and to be exposed. What was really interesting was the next morning, a tornado hit the center of Rome for the first time in almost 40 years. They hadn't had that kind of tornado, and it went right through the St. Peter's Square. It was very interesting. There was a picture the next day in the newspaper showing all these, you know, the chairs and everything around St. Peter's Square scattered by this tornado. The next day, 2 days later, I was up in Genoa, Italy, and I got a phone call from a senior cardinal in the Catholic Church saying that they would be willing to sit down and talk about this letter we had sent on behalf of the people who had died in the residential school, saying we want the grave sites of these kids to be identified so they can be given a proper burial. I think that, you know, the Catholic Church is under that kind of enormous pressure, and who knows what kind of other pressure, you know, is being brought to bear, but I did that two more times. Again, in April, we went there, although when we went back in April, the Italian state police were ready. They stopped us from holding any kind of protest near the Vatican, and that's because of a lot of the stuff come out recently implicating the Pope himself, Joseph Ratzinger, in the fact that when he was an archbishop, he hid pedophiles and priests who had been caught raping children. He protected them and moved them around, so he's guilty of these crimes personally. And, you know, clearly their backs are to the wall on this. But I think it shows you the kind of impact you can have when you go out there. After April, we held press conferences in Rome where every major media in the country were covering what we were doing. That's something you never find in Canada. So, you know, it shows it's really having an impact.
Right. And the impact, I guess maybe we could talk about the impact here in Canada, because... Mm-hmm. What we've seen is not only is the media not really talking much about your story, but I've also heard that you've been banned from your former radio station in Vancouver, and
that's
that
right.
there was some press releases that you had sent out where you talk about a dirty tricks campaign that's underway. One of the quotes was that Kevin Annett has been discredited amongst Native people, or you've been accused of lying. I guess. I'm wondering what is the reaction? Is there any accurateness in this? Do you feel like Native people are reacting this way?
No. As a matter of fact, you know, this smear campaign, Daniel, goes back years. You know, and it's been proven. There's a within E Division of the RCMP. There's a guy, Peter Montague, and he specializes in these smear campaigns. He's come out publicly and said this. You know, they. But really, what happened recently was. On August 9th, I was banned from the station after having a program there for 9 years. This is Vancouver Co-op Radio. And what happened was that same day, we had been airing evidence of eyewitnesses who saw RCMP officers engaged, like taking women, Aboriginal women, out to the Picton farm in Coquitlam, where the serial killers, Willie Picton and Dave Picton, and actually women disappearing there. And in fact, these eyewitnesses were saying the RCMP were involved in making these snuff films, where they were filming women being tortured and killed. We aired that. I was unilaterally banned from the station. Anybody who supported me was banned. One other program, the Monday Brown Bagger, is being shut down as well because they dared to question what happened to me. It's really a reign of terror now at the station. Any programmer who voices questions about this, finds their show is immediately taken away from them. So clearly this is intervention by somebody more than just the station staff. You know, the government, the RCMP are clearly in there because all of this bears all the characteristics of dirty tricks. And, you know, there are Native people who don't support the work I'm doing. They tend to be government-funded Native chiefs and other people on the payroll. Most of the Native people on the ground are actively supporting this campaign to really expose what happened in the residential school. And that's obvious. I was looking at my film Unrepentant. A lot of the Native people on there are saying exactly that, that, you know, Native people are still being killed on the streets. Vancouver has the highest rate in Canada of people dying in police custody. And most of those are Native men and women who are killed at the hands of the police. So, I mean, this is the stories that I was airing over. It was the only program in Vancouver that was doing that, and now we're shut right down. So it isn't accidental, and I think it's because we are having that kind of impact.
Right. And the shocking thing with the crimes that you were bringing up there with the Robert Picton, the serial killer, and the serial killers, as you're saying, the thing that's really shocking, and you even talk about this in the press release you sent out about your situation, is how the stuff that you had talked about on that August episode of your radio show, your final episode, was somewhat confirmed in one of the newspapers when eventually they admitted that the RCMP had known for years before about
that's
this
right.
guy, and that they hadn't. Or there had been some block in the investigation, or what? I guess what was going on? Do you think with the investigation?
Well, it's like, you know, I've lived and worked in the downtown east side of Vancouver for a quarter of a century now, and I've seen a lot of this happen, and it's the same pattern. In a nutshell, what went on was 10 days after I was canned, there was an article in the Vancouver Sun on August 20th that said that the Vancouver police admitted that they knew about the Pictons for over 2 years. And didn't do anything about it. And they didn't explain why they didn't investigate. In the meantime, another 13 women were killed by the Pictons. Well, the police stood by and did nothing. So that's more proof that they're implicated. And in fact, sources within the Vancouver police confirm that they knew the Mounties were involved and they didn't want to, you know, step on their feet, so to speak. Now, in response to that, the government does the usual thing. Whenever they call up what they call public inquiries are really whitewashes. They go in there to control the information. And Wally Opal, who used to be the Attorney General of BC, is heading this investigation. It's kind of like Kissinger doing the 9/11 investigation. You know, it's like it's absurd to get the system to investigate itself, because the reality is that the Attorney General's department themselves are implicated in fairly widespread pedophile activity within the government. And, you know, like, for example, we have Native women who describe their children being taken away from them by the Ministry of Children and Families and put in the homes of known child rapists, and then being silenced by Attorney General Department officials. So, you know, this is everybody scratching each other's back and making sure the truth doesn't come out. And that's why it's, you know, programs like yours and community radio, it's and the Internet, that's being the only forum by which we can get this stuff out.
Right, and that's why I'm glad that you're still getting the word out. You can follow hiddenfromhistory.org. You get on Kevin Annis' mailing list. You can find out more information, and what you've been talking about, and I know there's got to be truth to what you're saying, because there is, the media and the government will talk about this, that there has been hundreds of women that have disappeared, mostly Native women that have disappeared in British Columbia, and that the there wasn't hundreds of remains found on this Robert Picton's farm, so there's definitely an unsolved mystery going on that you're really exposing. And with what you've been exposing here, and how far, you know, the government seems to be going with doing this dirty tricks campaign against you and everything. What's going on with the work that you've been doing with the friends and relatives of the disappeared? Because I know that it's not just when you talk about the friends and relatives of the disappeared, it's not just the historical victims from the Indian residential schools, but also, you know, the more recent crime of these disappearing hundreds of women What's the latest with the friends and relatives of the disappeared?
Well, there's actually a branch of the friends and relatives that disappeared right in Toronto, and a couple of years ago they made a bit of headlines in the corporate media, where they organized church occupations. There was Carrie Lester, who's a Native woman in Toronto who works with our group, actually went in with some people into an Anglican church and seized the pulpit one Sunday morning and started demanding truth about what happened to these children, where they're buried. So the FRD in Toronto has done these actions, and in fact they've invited me to come back. I'm going to be in Toronto March 26th to 28th, and we're going to be doing more of those things and doing book readings and that. But essentially what we're doing is we've expanded this to let people see that the genocide in Canada has never stopped. It's just shifted focus. There's more children in the Native world disappearing into white foster homes now than ever went into residential schools. The mortality rate, the loss of language and everything is just as bad as it ever was among the Native people. So we are now getting international support for this, and that's why we're setting up the tribunal. So we're really trying to show people that it's important to take action where you are, to stop giving money to these churches, to help expose the ongoing crimes. Like, for example, one of our activists in Vancouver, Bingo Dawson, was murdered last December. He helped lead these church occupations. He was never frightened by the police or the church officials, and three cops grabbed him in an alley and beat him so badly he died. They said he died of alcohol withdrawal, but the toxicology report said there was no alcohol in his bloodstream. So he was out and out murdered, and this is what happens to Native people in Canada all the time. We have to show that you know, Canada is not the humanitarian place that a lot of people think it is. It's this ongoing crime of genocide. So it can affect any one of us, and we're seeing that more and more with police repression, that it's almost like we're all becoming, living on one big Indian reservation with our loss of rights and everything. So that's why, you know, we just have to show people that an injury to any one of these people is really a threat to all of us.
Right, and I wanted to ask you about something we played, a clip we played a few weeks ago, was actually you speaking, but you were telling the story of, I think it was three different stories of Native people that you knew or that you had met. It seemed like it was all within one day in Vancouver. What was that segment? Why was it in your voice, that three stories? We played it about 2 weeks ago on the show.
Well, it was really just trying to give people a sense of what I experienced in a day. And the difficulty with a lot of people on the street is they don't like to talk. They don't like being filmed. Their lives are in danger. And for them to come out and speak publicly, they can die the next day, literally. I've seen that happen. So often, you know, some of the government-funded Native critics say, well, who is Kevin Annett to speak for these people? He's white. Well, the reality is their own leaders don't speak for them. They don't speak up for them, and it's very hard for them to speak. So they need people within the white world to come out and be their advocate until the point where they have enough protection and international support where they can come forward themselves. So that's one of the reasons I write things like that, is to give people a slice of what real life is really like for them. And the goal, of course, is to get them to be able to speak for themselves, but they exact a much higher price by doing that than you and I would, if we got up and spoke about it.
Right. And that's why I respect the work that you're doing. Now, the one shocking, all three stories were intense, and the one that stood out as a shocking moment in one of the stories was a memory of one of the people that when they were in the Indian residential school, that the Queen had came to the residential school, and that there was a point where they were to kiss the feet of the Queen. This seemed pretty shocking. And then there was also that some of the children had left with the Queen, and you know that surprised me as well. What do you know about this? About this historical situation?
Well, this was an eyewitness account from a guy called William Coombs, who a Native man who regularly appeared on my show, and he's a homeless man in Vancouver now. He was incarcerated in the Catholic residential school in Kamloops, B.C. in the early 1960s. In 1964, in October, And I checked the records. The Queen and Prince Philip were in Canada during the first 2 weeks of October 64. William claimed that the Queen and Philip showed up at the school. They took the kids down to a picnic by a place called Dead Man's Creek. And he said, you know, the memories come back in fits and starts for William because he's so traumatized because of the tortures he went through. But, you know, stuff will come back. And he said to me that he and two other boys witnessed this happening, that all the kids had to get down and kiss the Queen's foot. And then, after the picnic, she and Philip took 10 kids with them, and they never showed up again. They disappeared for life. No one ever saw them again. 7 boys and 3 girls. He even named the names of a couple of these kids. And what's really odd is that the kids were all from there, so for them to simply vanish and never be seen again, any of them, raises real questions. Now, we actually sent a letter to Elizabeth Windsor in London, and we're actually subpoenaing her as head of state and head of the Church of England to come and answer questions, either her or her lawyer or somebody, about those missing children. So, I mean, this is, again, scratching something that's much deeper than what it appears. But it's not inconceivable that this child trafficking has been going on for a long time. And what easier group of people could you grab than Indian kids in a residential school? The churches are complicit in that. They knew all about it, which is why they've gone ballistic when I began bringing this stuff out, because they know that one day this is all going to come out, and it's beginning to.
Right, and it's going to be, you know, hopefully we're going to get a lot more headlines when you're going on this world tour that you've been talking about. Book promotional tour, speaking seminars, you're going to be around Canada, but it all starts next month in London next month.
That's right. I'm in February 22nd. I'll be starting in London at Houseman's Books, which is a big book chain in downtown London. From there, I'm going all over England, Ireland, down to Slovenia, up to Denmark and Scandinavia, and then back to Canada March 21st. I start my tour in Montreal, and I work west. So I'll get to about a week later, around March 28th, I'll be in Toronto. And if people want to follow this, they can actually write to me, hiddenfromhistory@yahoo.ca. And I should mention, too, the latest edition of my book, my other book, which has a lot of the evidence of the genocide in residential schools, it's called Hidden No Longer, Genocide in Canada, Past and Present. We're now posting it on a website, so you don't have to even pay for the book anymore. All the evidence is up there. The website is hiddennolonger.com.
Right.
That's both ends, like the full name, hiddennolonger.com. And you can start reading, you know, the content of what I've been uncovering for almost 20 years now.
Great, awesome. Yeah, hiddennolonger.com. And the new book is Unrepentant, Disrobing the Emperor?
That's right. And you can actually get that on Amazon, on Chapters Indigo. You can order it there. And I, of course, will have copies with me. But that's something we're hoping, especially now, to get out, because my previous books that were in university libraries all began disappearing right about the time I was fired from Co-op Radio in September. In 4 universities across Canada, the books just vanished. So, you know, this is something you have to counter all the time, this attempt to censor this information.
For real. Yeah, I've actually had that experience. I actually posted a clip from the Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared action, which took place the Toronto United Church. I posted it on YouTube, but then I posted it on Toronto Media Co-op blog. This would have been last spring, 2010 spring.
Yeah.
And there was actually a controversy when it got featured by the Toronto Media Co-op, and then I guess there was a national decision to delist it. It was delisted. They never totally took the segment off, but
The United Church, especially, and the Anglicans, they have a lot of pull. I mean, a lot of progressive groups that are connected with the NDP or whoever, the United Church is involved, and they've done a very, you know, widespread smear on me, in conjunction with the RCMP. So a lot of people have never met me. You know, there's all these rumors about me out there that I've somehow made this stuff up. What I say to them is, just look at the evidence. Forget about the rumors. Look at the evidence and the eyewitnesses. The United Church is not the liberal institution you think it is. It's responsible for the death of thousands of children. They even ran sterilization hospitals on the West Coast. United Church missionary George Darby and others, I'll tell you, a member of parliament, Jim Manley, from the West Coast, who's an NDP member of parliament and United Church minister, he worked at the R.W. Large Hospital in Bella Bella, B.C., where they were sterilizing these Native people. So the point is, the NDP is complicit. You know, they have people who are, by their connection to the United Church, are connected to these crimes, and that's one of the reasons they come down so much on people like you and others who try to report on just what's going on.
Right. Yeah, and we're, you know, you're doing a lot of work. You're exposing. You know, we've brought up the Vatican. We brought up the Queen. We've brought up the history of Canada that is, you know, hidden no longer. Hiddennolonger.com. You can find Kevin Annett's previous book, and then look out for Unrepentant, Disrobing the Emperor. And Kevin, it would be great to have you on too to promote when you're going to be coming to Toronto.
I'll be happy to do that, Daniel. And you're at the top of the list. I'll keep you posted of everything that's going on, and talk to you more about maybe organizing some things in Toronto when I'm there.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thanks. Peace. And that's Kevin Annett there from HiddenFromHistory.org. Check out HiddenFromHistory.org. If you want to know about the story of Kevin Annett, the history of Kevin Annett, you can check out the documentary Unrepentant. And that's also the name of his new book that's going to be coming, that's out. But Unrepentant, the documentary, you can find it on HiddenFromHistory.org. You'll find the link. And the other website, he said, HiddenNoLonger.com. You can check that one out. Just look out for the work of Kevin Annett, and we'll be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday to wrap things up. But first, maybe we'll just play a track here. This track I found on a website. The website was called Breathe Toronto, breathetoronto.org. And it's a website, or it's a track, you know, supporting some good causes, including the public transit. Well, you'll hear Giassi featuring Troy Morgan and Nucleus Vine in this track, Welcome to Toronto. Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Be right back.
Toronto. 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 Linda Kennedy, you can find me on the TTC. Indefinitely, I'll be riding, listening to Chaos and K9. Carrying my city from LA to the cave, my Chinese in Malaysia, Thai and Cajun. We got every flavor, every spice, cause we came from taste of the universe in this one metropolis. Catering to every shade and shade of the populace. But I ain't you dropping this for praising it blindly. We got our own apocalyptic issues in time. Rising on the chance we have to save it, tearing up the concrete, planting seeds in the pavement like, hey, where you come from? I don't really care, cause here you my cousin. We can chill by the river or the lake now. Bring our Tupperware and grab some takeout. Yeah, so many places. Look down from the tower, see the people racing every which way.
Mother Earth, contemplating my birth. Universal alert, a true convert to global planning. Demanding more than required is landing dreams prematurely. Simply, I'm saying sorry for perpetuating devastation. This planet's annihilation. My place in this context has me displacing vex. Hex wouldn't be next, but what was previous? Devious demise of the greediest and their lies. Their pies I've eaten and the lies I've been inadvertently cheating has me heated, seated, but not for long. The ballot or the bullet at the end of the song. Time for the revolution, I'ma bring you along. Toronto is a city that works on many levels, angels and devils so searching to be settled. Interest groups revel to reign supreme, groups execute coups learning about the iron teams.
Hey, where you come from? I don't really care, cause here you my cousin. Chill by the river or the lake now. Bring our Tupperware and grab some takeout. Yeah, so many places. Look down from the tower, see the people racing every which way.
And we
keep the city bouncing. Keep Toronto moving. We keep the city bouncing. Keep Toronto moving. We keep the city bouncing. 24 hours round the clock and counting. Keep Toronto moving. We keep the city bouncing. Keep Toronto moving. We keep the city bouncing. Keep Toronto moving. We keep the city bouncing. 24 hours round the clock and counting.
Time won't find me a cab. 7 miles south, I forgot my bag. Looking like a big light coming my way. Trying to get myself back home again. I can't forget what my mama say. I can't forget what my daddy say. Living in love and living in hate. Life is a trick, just trying to stand straight.
Cause we got people on our street, yeah, shuffling their feet. Oh, too busy to stop and help, oh, missy. So that's why it's a time to make it equal, yeah. I spread necessity so that the people, yeah, I trying and they struggling. Kids get into trouble and grow up to become another number in another bed. Cops come by, spray it all up. Happy, yeah, that you root share from the cup, yeah. So we can all feel love in Toronto.
Word up, Toronto, word up. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday, just closing it off for this week, our first episode of 2011. And shout-outs again to the guys who made that track, Welcome to Toronto. You can check out the video, actually, on breathetoronto.org. Breathetoronto.org. They got some information on, I guess, trying to keep the air clean, trying to keep public transit going, and trying to keep keep on moving in Toronto, keep on living in Toronto, and keep on keeping on with, well, major demonstrations coming up this Saturday. Mass demonstration calling for a public inquiry into the Toronto G20. This is back for 2011, Saturday, January the 8th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., Queen's Park, organized by the Canadians, demanding a public inquiry into the Toronto G20. This Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., Queen's Park, be there for a G20 rally. This Sunday, Rally to Save Transit City, 2 p.m. This Sunday, January the 9th, that's taking place at Toronto City Hall, 100 Queen Street West, taking the message to Rob Ford and the Toronto City Councilors about Transit City. Now, that's going on Sunday. So Saturday, Sunday, you got some events going on. Kevin Annett's tour is going to be taking place soon, coming up in the next few months. So we're going to be announcing when he's coming around to Toronto. And, you know, he's going to be going. It's a global tour, but he will be in Canadian locations, too. So keep that in mind. And then also, a few of the headlines. We've got the Ontario government, the same people that have instituted the World War II law, police state law, the Public Works Protection Act right before the G20. And a few days later, they instituted a 13% HST. They've announced last month that they're going to be the new gladiator sport of Toronto's coming soon. UFC is going to be coming to Toronto. Well, there's another announcement, too, from the highly promoted Ontario Gaming Corporation. There's a $50 million prize that's been won by they don't even know how many people. So that is that's the word there in terms of downtown, walking past the Ryerson on Yonge Street. There's a major one block of Yonge Street totally closed off because there had been some sort of major blaze taking place. It's now, the headline I saw, major downtown Toronto blaze now the scene of a criminal investigation. That's why the whole one block of Yonge Street's been blocked off near the HMV, if you know that block. That is now a criminal investigation. They don't know what happened there, but it looks like it's a total wreck. The Prime Minister did a cabinet shuffle today. I'll just read out this cabinet shuffle quickly here. Toronto MP Peter Kent is going to be taken over as the Environment Minister. MP Diane Abelonsky takes over as the Minister of State for the Foreign Affairs. MP Ted Menzies is to become Minister of State of Finance. And the new MP, Julian Fantino of Vaughan in the GTA, is taking over Minister of State for Seniors. That's your cabinet shuffle. Now, there is some other major announcements going on, worldwide.
and not to take light or try to make a story too short. So, you know, I'm not going to get into too much depth. Let's just say birds are falling from the sky, fish are turning in the seas, massive flooding has hit Australia, the economic crisis is not reversed, but we're still out here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, still broadcasting and trying to get the word out. Now, that's what we're trying to do. Toronto Truth Seekers have, some of them have announced they're going to be out too at the Toronto G20 rally taking place this Saturday. Now, that's something to keep in mind, because the G20, we got to bring it into 2011, and the Toronto Truth Seekers are not haven't met up too much during the winter because of the seasonal change. So there's a few of them are going to make it out to Queen's Park. That one's taking place Queen's Park this Saturday. Is the Toronto that about the G20 public inquiry still needed, still required, and still hoped for? This Sunday, Rally to Save Transit City, 2 p.m., January the 9th, Toronto City Hall. And I also want to thank Kevin Annett again. Check out his work at hiddenfromhistory.org or hiddennolonger.com. Check out ckln.fm for this radio station online. Shout outs to Ryerson University, and shout outs to all the listeners. Hope everyone, wishing everyone a good 2011. And, you know, much respect to all the stuff you're doing. Check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Check out TorontoMediaCoop.ca. And stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill to cure your music ills. Live in the studio for the Blue Remedy coming up next. My name's Daniel Libby. Much respect. Word is bond. Word of mouth. Word out.
Everywhere I go, people running around, trying to get to the top when they're really going down. Oh, Lord, oh, won't you help them?